If you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 with me, please. You may look at that chapter as it begins. You just say, what are you doing there? And I'll just say, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. So, I think it is. Now, let me pray for us, and then we'll look into God's word here. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for a time to have set aside in our country to give special thanks and remembrance to you. And I know some people don't take it that way, but we do, and we are grateful for our forefathers who took that time to remember you and to bless you for your kindnesses and your mercies to them. I pray that you'd help us to ever give thanks and praise to you. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving Day is past, but every day as we read in the Psalms, in fact, it's five places it says that we should give thanks to the Lord forever. So it's not something we do on a special Thursday of the month of November, but it's really all the time. So I'd like to just reiterate some of that today as we look in portion of this chapter. I'm going to read the first 9 verses and then we'll look at some thoughts from it. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor, for all the men who followed Baal Peor. The Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you held fast to the Lord your God. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and to your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Well, like I said, Thanksgiving is really every day. It's not a day we should just set aside or relegate to one Thursday in the month of November. But as Israel is about to enter the land of Canaan, God gave them a land that they were promised. He sat Israel down, so to speak, and he gave them a review of what he had done with them the last 40 years. We see that in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And he also gave them a second set of laws, not the second set, but a repeat, you might say, and adding to it and dealing with them certain things. He also gave them some prophetic words of what was going to happen to them, and he gave them some curses and blessings of what would happen to them if they were obedient to that law. And so as we see this, as he starts this section where he's going to give them some warnings and some encouragements, and then later on, cursings and blessings in the law, I'd like us to look at a few things and just remind us we're not Israel. We're not about to enter a new land. We are about to enter a new administration, it appears, whichever way it is, whether it's Mr. Trump again or whether it's Mr. Biden. And we don't know what's going to happen. But I think we do know that we have something that's always firm, and that's God's word. And we need to be reminded of that, so that whatever we experience, whatever we do, we always have God's word to hold on to lean upon, and to know that our God is, he is always there, and he will never stop, he will never refrain from encouraging his people and his word. So I'd like to take some things from this passage. And first and foremost, just to be reminded us that, as it says in the first verse, he says, "Listen to the statutes and judgments which I am teaching you to perform." And we know that they only had a portion of God's word. We have all of God's word. We don't have a portion. We have all the word of God. And so we have everything we need. They had everything they needed at their time, but we have everything in its totality. And we should be thankful that whatever is going to happen with us in the coming administration, whatever is happening to us right now, we have something that never changes. It's God's word. And second, we should be thankful that God's word will enable us to live for him in whatever country we might live in. You know, there are people that live in countries that don't have the freedoms we have today. They have it far worse than we do and what we think we might have. But we have something, we have God's word that is always there for us. And we see that what he says here, "Listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." We are in a land. We're not about to go in a land. We have a land, and we have people around us who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should take that word and take it seriously. Third, we should be thankful that God's word doesn't need to be changed and it doesn't need to be added to. We see that in verse 2. "You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." We should be careful. It's too easy for us to add to what God says or take away. We get upset about things and we want to do things our way. And we need to be reminded that we are never to add to his word and never take away from it. Fourth, we should be thankful that God's word is our wisdom and it is our understanding. It's our wisdom it gives us the ability to be skillful in living. And it is our understanding in that it gives us the ability to see and understand and discern things, and to know how we ought to act. We see that in verse 6. "So keep them and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" And we also see related to that, as we seek him, those around us will see him. And they won't see us. You notice what he says in that verse. "So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these things, hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" If we keep his word, if we delight in his word, if it is our hunger and thirst to be fed by him, then those around us, like those people in the land of Canaan, would see that this is a great nation. Not a great nation because we're great, but a great nation of people because we are wise and understanding because of God's word. Next, we should be thankful that what the world does see and admire in us is related to the righteousness, the righteous word of God. Notice verse 8, it says, "Or what nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" I should have started with verse 7. "For what nation, great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him?" The nations around us and the people around us, if we are obedient to him, they're going to see that. They're not going to see it perfectly because we're not perfect, but they are going to see it. And that should be our delight, that they see who he is and what he's doing. And finally, we should be thankful that we have men and women in our churches. We have those who lead us. We have those who encourage us. We have fellow Christians. We have parents who exhort us. As you notice, he says in verse 9, "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons." There's a caution here. The caution is that we are to beware of what we are doing, and lest we forget God's word, and lest we let them slip away from our lives. And to do that, we need to be teaching one another. We have a responsibility as parents, it says, to make them known to your sons and your grandsons. It's something we pass on to those around us. We don't pass them, we don't just hold them for ourselves. They are for our children and for our grandchildren. And I'd like to just to close with a thought from John chapter 15. You may know it, don't have to turn there, but I'm going to turn there just in case I forget it. In John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It's easy to depend upon ourselves. It's easy to think that we can take something that we can read and we can say, "I can do that," and then do it, and then go from there. But Jesus says here, "I am the vine, you are the branches." We have to remember who we are. We're a part of a vine, we're not the vine. And he says, "He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." He's giving the characteristic of a person. He's not saying, "Do this." We know that's in other places he says, "Do this, abide in me." But he's saying, "He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. He bears much fruit." That life of God, that life of Christ living in us, who he is and what he does, that's what helps us to bear fruit. And he reminds us, he warns us, he exhorts us, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Our life is tied up in him. It's not tied up simply in a set of rules that we have, but it's tied up in a person, and that person has shown himself through this word, and in that word we live. And if we live seeing him, then we are truly living what life is all about. And so I'd just like to remind us, as we have passed Thanksgiving Day itself, that we should be giving thanks to him every day, that we should live in him and seek him through his word, which he has given us. So, Jim, I give it to you and for the prayer sheet, prayer time.
Thank you, Richard. That's encouraging. I was thinking as you were looking at that, how a key little passage right in the midst of this, in verse 7, where it ends up there, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him?" Well, that's what we're here to do, is to call on him. I think a lot of times we think of, and there needs to be some clarity and delineation between Israel and the church and so forth. It was a different time and a different era, but there are so many things that are teaching us concerning this. The same things that were true in their relation with God are true in our relation with God today, and that is that they were called upon to a righteous standard before God and to live out that righteous standard of obedience. And it was by doing this that they would be a testimony to the rest of the world, which they failed to do, by the way, as a whole, as you know. And that testimony there, we understand, was to be a testimony by faith and believing what God had provided them to believe and trust in, and they failed. But we're in the same boat today. We have, as Richard said, the entirety of the Word of God, and we're without excuse. And obedience and faith all go together. If we have true faith, we desire to please God, and we have a higher calling of obedience and love to Him. And that is always dependent, of course, as you know, upon prayer. For, as he said out of John 15, without Him, without Christ, we can accomplish a little bit. No, we can accomplish nothing. So we're going to systematically call on the Lord here today. And even though this is somewhat a mechanical exercise, I trust that it won't be mechanical with you, that you will take these requests and that you will sincerely call upon the Lord. People in faith, give us the things that are on this list that we might pray concerning. And our prayers are so significant and so important. We live by prayer. That's what's on the sheet here out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. The idea there is continually leaning upon the Lord, continually leaning on Him. First thing I want to do is see if there are any prayer requests from the floor that are not on this sheet that anyone would like to bring to our attention. Please. Yes, sir. Oh, my.
I would ask for prayer for the husband and wife, their two boys, grandmother, their nephew. They were all gathered. Some came from overseas.
Okay. Andy and Janice and family. All right, now, anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Mike Pinkston?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And that could affect a lot of other people too, couldn't it? Okay, thank you. All right, here's how we do this. We'll start with guidance for the GBC ministry. And I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes after I go down the list here real quickly. And you're going to raise your hand. And just make sure that you pray for the thing that you commit yourself to, please. And at the end of that, I'm going to ask Tom Cooper to close. He's an elder. Close that section out, if you would, please. You hope you don't mind, Tom. And then we'll go to the missions ministries. And since we have Elder Ed Moffitt, who's in charge of missions, at the close of that, we'll ask him to close that section out. And I'll tell him when. And then we'll get into personal prayer request, and I'll include the one you just gave me and the one you just gave me in those personal requests. And then I'll ask, well, we got David back there. I'll let him please close that section out as an elder. So let me run down the GBC ministry list, first of all, on the list here. This is a big one right now for our country's leaders, that we might continue to have freedom in America to worship. Who will pray for this right here? For those who are deployed overseas and all those defending our freedoms, thank you. For our elders, and they're listed there, thank you, Richard. For our deacons, and they're listed there as well, thank you, brother. For our teaching ministries, worship, preaching, teaching, adult Bible studies, youth Bible studies, toddlers Bible study. Thank you, James. That we will be a thankful people. Here, this fits the season, doesn't it? And all the time, really, for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. Thank you, hon. that we will be faithful to our church calling to be a pillar and support of the truth. That's not an easy thing. Thank you. That the Lord will bless our times of worship and teaching, and that we would bring glory to Him alone. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. From the Lord's wisdom and guidance in all ministry, for the Lord's wisdom and guidance in all ministry endeavors, and for love, spiritual unity, and harmony among us. Thank you. For God's protection from those who would seek to destroy or diminish our faithfulness to Christ. That's not a small endeavor there. Thank you, brother. That God will bring visitors and use this ministry to point people to Christ and grow in Him for His glory. Thank you. For the GBC website, evangelistic outreach of GBC, and the Trail Life Ministry to the glory of God. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, and of course you can pray about other things and anything, and we want you to pray without ceasing, and then I'll ask our brother Tom to close that section out. So 2 minutes. Thank you. Tom, would you close this section out, please?
Father, we do thank you for this time you've given for us to be able to bring our requests and petitions before you. We thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign and in control over all things, and that, Father, we can remain confident in that. We thank you for the salvation you brought through Jesus, your Son, that his sacrifice on the cross has paid the penalty for sins that we could never pay. Thank you, Father. Pray that in our country this